Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's worship celebration.
Good morning, Middle.
Good morning.
Half of you said my name and half of you didn't. That's okay. We don't need to redo it. It's okay. And good morning to you too, worshiping online. My name is Elise. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm so glad to be welcoming you to worship today. Is anybody here for the very first time? Hello, welcome. We are so glad you are here with us today. There is a little blue pamphlet. We would love to get your information if you're interested in staying connected with us, and you can drop that in the offering if you're in person. Friends online, you can go on our website. We're so glad to have you. We hope you come back. I have some announcements for you. Yes, today we begin a new times for our worship. So if you are, woohoo, yes, we're excited, yes. 11:45 now. And we will also premiere again on YouTube at 2:00 p.m. Eastern time. I know, we're excited. We're so excited to continue to connect with you. We're also so excited to continue to connect with our West Coast and other time zone friends. We know that the 11 o'clock hour is the most segregated hour, and we are hoping to combat that with love. So we hope that you will come back and be with us. Friends, in this time of war and unrest, we continue to lean into peace. So we invite you to join us online on November 8th and 15th. Information is on our website. Reverend Dr. Jackie will be speaking with guests. We'll have peace talks and how we get to collective thriving. So we hope that you go on the website, see that information, and join us there. And then my favorite announcement, two Sundays from now, November 19th, does anybody know what's happening?
Book fair.
Book fair, that's right. We are so excited. It is our 7th annual Children's Multicultural Book Fair. We are so excited, yes. We are so excited to be featuring titles. We have half books that have been banned or challenged because you cannot censor our identities. We won't let you. And the other half are new titles. We are partnering with You and Me Books again. We are so excited. It's a free event. We have puppets. We have live author readings. We have books. We have crafts. We have raffles. We have music. We have all of the things to bring the joy for the young people and maybe the young at heart. You're invited too. So we'd love to see you share that widely. We have a super cute promo video coming out that Bernard from the Pupton Show put out. So when you see that on socials, you're gonna share it, right? Everybody's gonna share it out? Okay, awesome. Let's enter into a time of worship together. I wanna take a deep centering breath, if you'll do that with me. Welcome, we're so glad you're here. Let us worship God with our opening hymn.
We're going to sing the first, second, and third verse and go back to the first.
Just so there's no surprises. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. Let's just take a deep breath. I guess I need the deep breath, but let's come before our God. God, holy and mighty are you. We lift our voice in praise of you. We bow our head in awesomeness of you. For you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are almighty, and we praise you. We come to you today because so much is going on in the world. Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, the people in the street, the refugees, the addictions. Oh God, how we need a mighty and awesome God. And you are that God. You are that God. So we come today with a prayer that was written by John Wayne. And it says, when evil darkens our world, give us light. When despair numbs our souls, give us hope. When we stumble and fall, lift us up, O God. When we doubt assaults us, give us faith. When nothing seems sure, God, please, please, please give us trust. When ideals fade, give us vision. When we lose our way, be our guide, that we may find serenity in your presence and in your purpose, that we may do your will. God, we remind you of your word to us. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said you will always be there when we cry out to you. Your children around the world are crying out to you. And we know that you are faithful to your words. You are a God that never changes. You are the same as you were in the past. You are the same today, and you will be the same tomorrow. A healing God, a loving God, an all-present God. That's who we come to now. That's who we pray to now. That's who we need right now. So we thank you. We lift our voice. We open our hearts. We cry out to you, knowing, believing, trusting, and hoping that you will always be a God of your word. And it is in that God, it is in that mighty name that we pray, and we thank you in advance for all the healing, for all the mercy, for all the grace that you will bestow on all of your people. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let us now stand, if you are able. And together, let's pray the Lord's Prayer that's in the bulletin or the one that is most familiar to you. Ever-loving and holy God, hallowed be your name. Your reign come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the reign and the power and the glory forever. The peace of grace and understanding in a way that is safe and comfortable for us all. Let it be so. Pass the peace.
Thank you so much.
You. Thank you.
Y'all, I don't know what the churchy version of y'all play too much is. Okay. Now I got to preach after that. I got it. Cool. Wow, choir. Thank you so much for that. A reading from the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Mark is one of the synoptic gospels, which is a term that refers to three of the gospels in our traditional New Testament that share material and even some wording in some places. The Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23. See, y'all done messed me up. My head is praise until I make it. Let me see if I can get it. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, reads as such. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honor at the banquets and the best seats in the synagogues and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God. Will you pray with me? Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love as thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So shortly before this pericope that I just read, Jesus arrives in Jerusalem and has his temple tantrum. He is then quizzed by the religious leaders who give, as this ancient author wrote it, no response, presumably silenced by Jesus' answers. It is after this that Jesus then begins the instructions he gives here, saying that the religious leaders are effectively preaching what they should be preaching, but their actions don't add up. And maybe the disciples and the crowd had just witnessed the questioning from the religious leaders and noticed some of this behavior that Jesus was speaking about. But even if they didn't, even if it didn't happen even that day, I imagine they had seen it before. I wonder if some of them had been modeling what they saw. Were they doing these things thinking that that's what one is supposed to do? Now, I'm heading to Indianapolis for Yuletide in a few days, and it made me think of a time a couple years ago when I was home, and while I was making tea, I asked one of my nieces, she was maybe 6 at the time, if she wanted some tea. "Yes," she replied. So I let her pick out what kind she wanted, made us both cups of tea, put a little sugar in hers, made sure it wasn't too hot. You know, we both did the little toast, cheers, with our tea, and she took a sip. "Do you like it?" I asked. "Mm-hmm," she replied enthusiastically, it seemed. I went back to whatever I was doing, but a little while later, I noticed her ignored cup of tea. My stepmother went to discard it, and I said, "Well, that's Ellie's tea." And she replied, "She doesn't want it. She just wanted it because you were doing it." Now, I don't mean to infantilize the ancient audience, but it certainly made a connection in my head. Was this ancient audience following a model their ancient religious leaders were putting forth because of who they were and the relationship they had to them? Or because the words attached sounded good? I mean, if that person is really saying what needs to be said, then they must be doing it as well, right? Let me go follow them, do what they're doing. And honestly, we still see examples of this today. Smooth, cute words that make people forget the actual implications behind them. For example, pro-life. It's beautiful, right? But we know that it actually means anti-abortion. There isn't anything about the actual life in that pro-life sentiment. There is no care for the mother and fetus before birth, on the way to birth. There is no care after birth. There is, in fact, an active movement to limit how that life will develop, learn, thrive. It is not rooted in life, but still the words used about it are pro-life. If you don't pay attention to the actions, you might actually think it was the life-giving option. This is why reclamation is so important here at Middle. This is why we are talking about reframing and reclaiming, because we know in order to be pro-life, one must be pro-abortion. I wonder if this is what Jesus observed. Beautiful and slick words connected to action that was incongruent. An exquisite marketing strategy with nothing to back it up. The core message effectively lost. Rather, the strategy used for clout, to be seen, to be revered. But Jesus taught that there was another way. Show of hands, any of you ever had a parent, guardian, caretaker say, "Do as I say, not as I do"? Or maybe you were the person who uttered those words. This feels a little bit down that road, right? Because here, Jesus is in agreement with their teaching. He tells the disciples and the crowd, do whatever they teach and follow it. The lessons are solid, he is saying, but there is a miss on the implementation. Something about how they navigate the world, how they play into their status, doesn't sit right. It doesn't add up. The text is not saying not to know things, but rather it's saying, don't be caught up on being the expert in the room. It connects us, Middle Family, in the work we're doing in this season, in our Listen, Learn, Lean into Peace series. You can say, I don't know everything. I'm still learning. And here's what I got so far. That allows you some evolution as you continue to learn. There's that saying, the wise man knows that he doesn't know. It's Socrates, right? All I know is that I don't know nothing. And I agree, but I am also saying this. We know love. Yes. Make that the goal, to know love. Discern everything else along those lines. On this, Jesus said, what, a few chapters earlier, hang all the laws and all the prophets. You will do your best to learn, but as you go, you'll find it easier to tell what's righteous if you continue to lean into love. Take a moment and think on your life. Why are you doing the things that you're doing? What are those actions rooted in? Forget what others around you are saying. Don't try to figure out why they're saying it. Let love be your compass. You follow the Most High God, so let your starting point be, where is God in this? Yes. Where is love in this? Yes. Love should be the root from which where everything else sprouts. And as the prophets known as the OJs, and also Heavy D and the Boys sang, now that we found love, what are we gonna do with it? When love is weaponized or manipulated, it ceases to be love. Amen. Love is the action. When you attempt to weaponize or manipulate or otherwise use love, you thingify it. It becomes an object you place on a mantle. Its value is reduced to what you or others think of it. You actively devalue it. This is the result of the capitalist consumerist society that we've built. And that this capitalist mindset is an age-old problem. Jesus literally just had driven the merchants from the temple right before this passage. And the things that we tend to place more value on are the things that we can see. This is why we see a lack of morals and virtues in society today, because those unseen things are easily manipulated. You can have integrity, and someone else on the other side of the aisle can have integrity and completely believe the opposite of what you believe. Your integrities can be divergent. You can both seemingly start from the same root but end up on opposite sides. But when you love that person, and that person loves you, it is no longer the two of you standing on your own side. It puts you together in community. Love is your root. Love is your starting point. Love is your grounding. It becomes the two of you together looking at the problem, and you are no longer across the aisle from each other. Love is the guiding force. It's the impetus. It is both the action that combines you, and it is what is happening in the midst of the combining, and it is what comes out of how you move together as a result of that combining. Love is the action. So, how will you be able to tell the difference? There is a lot happening in this world. It is devastating, and we are flooded with information 24/7. Well, Jesus lays out how to tell the difference in other parts of the Bible. If it's heavy and they aren't helping, then it is safe to assume something is off. It should unsettle you. It should set off your spidey sense. For Jesus just said a few chapters back, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I am not saying to you all that following the way of Jesus is easy. But what we do know is that God is on the side of the oppressed. So here's an easy way to tell if you too are standing with the oppressed, if you are standing with the righteous, if you are on the right side of history. The next time you are at a protest or a rally, look around at who is there with you. Does everybody look like you? I mean, you go to middle, so chances are they don't. This tells you that you are all lifting together. This is what community looks like, collective work toward liberation. All of our energy behind a cause will allow for the work to be lighter for everyone. Like JFK said, a rising tide lifts all boats. Now, pro tip, if you are at a protest or a rally where everyone looks the same, you better examine a little more deeply who they are and what the cause is. Exclusion is a red flag, beloved. Now, maybe Jesus is giving permission in this text. Jesus is saying to you, know what is right, and just do that. You don't have to do what they do. You'll hear a lot of people trying to have the hot take, trying to prove they know something, trying to win the moral Olympics. And some of them have some really great information to share. Take what you will. But remember that, as James chapter 2, verse 17 says, faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. It's not about what you say, beloved. It's about what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, we approach your table with thanksgiving, grateful for your abundance. Thank you for the opportunity to stop, to rest. You created us for more than labor. Remind us we were made for love.
We come to this table in a world that's breaking, with hearts that are shattered, with fractured spirits and a fragile hope. We come longing for the ancient words, the eternal promise that even in moments we feel most desolate, God is with us.
We remember Jesus at a meal with those he loved. breaking bread as the world is broken, as it was breaking him, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Eat this and remember me."
After the meal, Jesus took the cup. He poured wine and said, "This is my blood, a new covenant poured out for you and for all, so no more blood will be shed. Drink this and remember me."
In these gifts, we know a God who wept like we do, who suffered violence, who knew the horrors of occupation and the yearning for a world where all people flourish. We receive a foretaste of that blessedness, a promise that life, not death, will have the final word.
Let us pray. God, thank you for the reminder of who we are and whose we are, yes, and our calling to nurture your world toward peace. In love, we are fed and emboldened to embody your reign on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Good day, Middle. My name is Jorge. I'm here with my husband, Maurice.
Good morning.
We estimate we've been members of Middle for about 20 years, and Jackie married us about a decade ago, 10 years ago. And we're celebrating that and also recognizing that just like marriage, our commitment to Middle and this beloved community is an expression that grows over time. Coming as we are, as we come through the door, we have always felt welcome and at home in this community. Our love has grown in modes of service, donating our time. Maurice's volunteer as usher, also supporting Get Out the Vote activities. Me as a lay leader in support of our youth, as well as advocacy in Puerto Rico and helping with our rebuilding efforts there. Middle is a place where we can take action, and our love has grown as a result. Our love grows as this community rises up from the ashes of the sanctuary we've lost in a fire. Now we celebrate the opportunity as well to return home as we prepare to rebuild over these next few years. Our love also grows larger with our recurring commitment to Middle. This looks like calling or answering the call to increase our monthly recurring commitment double. That felt comfortable for us in light of our need to rebuild, restore, and heal as a community over the coming years. We felt we could get out of our comfort zone and stretch a little bit, working harder to match our words and our actions. Our love grows for this church that serves as a refuge from darkness in the world that shows up as hate, violence, war, and intolerance. We feel at home here, and as our love grows, so does the love, support, care, and refuge we benefit from and nurture. In the eyes of author, activist, and love critic Bell Hooks, love is the process of nurturing yourself or others. It's not just something that happens to you or that's automatically present in your life. Love takes effort, daily effort, to cultivate.
We invite you to take a moment. Assess whether you're in your comfort zone or whether you are in stretch mode. How does your commitment to Middle feel? How has your love grown with it? How are your words and actions aligning? If you can stretch a bit more by showing up, volunteering, or increasing your commitment to this community of refuge and help realize our rebuilding efforts, go to middlechurch.org/join or middlechurch.org/donate or on Venmo at Middle Collegiate Church and give today and take action with us to support the love of this church and all that it has given us.
Love, period.
Comes knocking at my door.
My door.
I ain't fighting just for myself no more, no more. Got my family by my side and on the wings of freedom we ride. When the revolution comes knocking at my door. Living fast and dangerous on the wrong side of town. Don't drink more than what's good for me, trying to wash my troubles down. I've been looking for some redemption, cause I know I ain't that man. The truth start pouring out of me like ink out of a pen. When the revolution comes knocking at my door, I ain't fighting just for myself no more, no more. Got my family by my side and on the wings of freedom we ride. When the revolution knocking at my door. Thank you.
Their backgrounds or beliefs, and to feed them or clothe them or defend them. May we be defined by who we are for and not by who we are against. Yes. Yes. Help us be like you and not just love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Such a beautiful Sunday. It's so good to see you all here. You know, send a message to somebody on the West Coast. Let them know that they can join us for worship at at 2 p.m., 11 a.m. their time. We'd love to have them. I'm going to leave you with the word to send you out. Now that we've found love, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Take this week to check where your actions are rooted. And may you be made wildly uncomfortable if that place is not love. And may this week be the week that you are able to shift that and realign yourself with love. Yes. May it be so.
May it be so.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.